for an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. Weather today, this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 77, east wind around 8 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with low around 58, light northeast wind. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 77, southwest wind around 6 miles per hour. Tuesday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high near 82. Calm wind, chance of precipitation is 40%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 64. In the evening, a chance of precipitation is 50%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. My co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers, work out of our houses, use our own phones, that sort of thing. We have no paid staff, no office. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have a mental health issue or someone in their family who may, or someone they work with or friends with or, you know, live next door to or whatever. And we do it in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we teach what they call a family-to-family class. It's a 12-week course. It's totally free. All the binders and paperwork and everything is totally free. You do not have to be a member of NAMI to take the class. And the class goes over medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. It tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. You don't have to pay, as I said, but you do have to register. So you just check NAMIHunterdon.org and you'll see, you know, when the next class will be, and you can just register. We also run a support group. It's the third Thursday of every month. It's at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it's at 7 o'clock. And again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI, and you don't have to register for the support group. You can just come. And everything that's said there is totally confidential. We also run a six-week course for called Basics. It's for families who have young children, and they can be young as 4 or 5 years old, up to 17 who have a mental health issue. And it's a six-week course, and it's just for those children. If you need to ask a question or you want some more information about something, you can reach us out. You can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone manning the phone 24/7, but we do have someone who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise we will get back to you. Today, we are very privileged to have with us Maggie Rose, and she is a co-founder of Reborn, and we will find out what that is in a few minutes. Maggie, welcome. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come up here and, you know, sit with us for an hour. I know you've been on before, and I just wanted to say thank you because I really appreciate what you're doing, and, you know, any way that NAMI can help, it's great, you know, so... I want to start off by having you explain exactly what Reborn is and how did you come up with the name?
Sure. So first and foremost, thank you for having me on. It's really a privilege and I really do appreciate it. And of course, Reborn, we love being on here and being a part of the community. So the name itself, it's kind of a funny story, but Reborn is the name of the organization. And when we first started, we were a social impact initiative. So we were really focused on bringing awareness to suicide prevention. And we played around with different names for a little bit. And finally, one night, I was with my mentor, and we were up really, really late. And it was one of those interesting times in my life as well. I had just lost a friend of mine to suicide, and I switched my major from criminal justice to psychology to try and really understand more about people and why we think the way that we think, why we do the things that we do. And so I knew that I had to do something to help. So flash forward, I've launched this social impact initiative that is creating awareness on suicide prevention, just talking about the statistics. But now we need a name that really identifies with what we're trying to inspire in young people. And I found myself in a conversation about going through a time in my life where I was depressed and I was going through a lot after my friend's death. And I said, well, I'm not like that anymore. I'm a different person. I've grown from that experience. And in essence, I've become reborn. My journey has shaped who I am and continues to do that. And all of a sudden, my mentor looked at me and he said, wait, that word, reborn, that's so powerful. And we expanded on it. And we kind of identified with young people that that journey is not something that you should push aside or be afraid of or be ashamed of. It's something that you should embrace, because that right there is your journey of being reborn.
And you try to help people?
Yes, we do.
May think about taking their life?
Yep. So we went from Social Impact Initiative, and we started by, like I said, creating awareness, right? So we wanted to tell everybody and anybody about the statistics and say, hey, this is a problem, this is what's happening, and this is happening to your friends and your family. And we said, well, how can we do that the best? And so we ended up actually on the Rutgers campus in New Brunswick, partnering with local bands and musicians and artists. And we were going to them and saying, hey, you know what? Utilize us as a platform to talk about mental health. And let's throw an event together where we can bring that age group together and actually talk to them one-on-one on what could actually help them. The idea of nonprofit work had already been on my mind, but the question was, what kind of a solution could we come up to with, you know, this particular need? So we started doing that and held a lot of events, a lot of shows, a lot of benefit concerts, and it allowed local artists and musicians to come out and have a reason to perform and talk and get to know their audience a little bit more. And we talked one-on-one with that age group of 18 and 24 and said, well, what is it that you need? What could help you? Or what would make you feel more comfortable getting help? We found that really there were three things to mental health in youth between those ages that we could potentially help. And that was, A, it's a huge misconception that young people don't want help. They do. B, it comes down to comfortability. And C, it comes down to affordability. So what could we really do that could help young people in those three aspects? So we ended up launching ourselves as a 501c3 with the goal to create programs and certifications and events in the area that would not only bring awareness, but some sort of suicide prevention. So our largest goal has been to launch a four-step program. And it gives young people the ability to work with a peer-to-peer counselor, a therapist, a life coach, and a monthly support group for a really low cost a month. So they get access to so many things that can help them and so many people that can help them on that journey. You have the peer-to-peer counselor who acts similar to an AA sponsor and says, you know, what's going on in your life? What's new? You know, and catches up with them every week and walks with them on their journey. You have the therapist who gives them professional help at a very low cost. You have the life coach who says, okay, well, now that we've crossed that hurdle of therapy, what can we do to accomplish your goals? What are your goals? Let's identify what the things are that you want out of life right now and take that to the next level and organize that. And then, of course, a monthly support group allows them to build a community of young people just like themselves. So that has been our biggest focus. But we actually are going to be offering very soon, which we're super excited about, soon as in October, so just, what, a month or two from now, certifications in peer-to-peer counseling and school mental health. We were able to get involved with an organization called LEAD, which stands for Let's Empower and Do.
Right.
And they created certifications that are really impactful, really educational, and informative for young people to learn more about mental health in schools, in camp settings, in team settings, in corporate settings. So we were able to work with them to create a peer-to-peer counseling certification that we are launching to anybody interested in becoming a peer-to-peer counselor. And, of course, for us, we would love for them to work with us in our program and get firsthand experience as a peer-to-peer counselor. So we have the certifications, we have the programs, and, of course, we do a lot of events. We have an art show coming up. We had a dance-a-thon last year. You know, we still do benefit concerts all the time and go back to our roots a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we love holding events and partnering with people to really bring awareness. So, in a little nutshell, that's kind of really what we focus on.
So, all right. Go ahead.
Maggie, I have a question. Now, why did you select 18 to 24? They're out of high school now.
Yeah. So, actually, right now, the second leading cause of death between the ages of 18 and 24 specifically in the world, updated just this past February by the CDC, is suicide.
Right.
So we are very focused on that age group because we don't think it's a coincidence that that age group has just graduated high school, gone to college, is supposed to know what they're going to do for the rest of their life, and supposed to graduate. So we're really focused on that. I myself am close to that age group. So I know that a lot of my peers, when they were struggling or if they are struggling, they're in that age group as well. It's something that is really affecting that particular age group.
Okay.
I know you mentioned that you heard a young person say, young people are not interested in hearing something sad. What do young people want to listen to and follow today?
I think that is such an interesting question. I was speaking to somebody who is 22 years old, and he himself has a tendency of appreciating music and art that does influence more of a sad culture. So it was interesting to hear him say that. He said, young people don't want to hear anything sad. And after talking to other young people about that and just personally surveying young people, especially recently, because that happened very recently, it was so interesting to hear young people say, well, we don't want to hear anything sad. We want to hear things that empower us or inspire us or make us go, okay, we need to make a new decision. So I think that there's this misconception from different generations, different types of people, that young people, especially Generation Z, especially the millennial generation, there's this interesting focus and twist on those generations that they don't really want to do anything, that they just want to sit on their phones at home. And in many cases, I could see why people would think that. I was in a coffee shop this morning getting coffee, and it was so quiet, and I was looking around, and everyone was on their phone.
It's not just that age group, though.
It's not. No, it's everybody. Not. It is.
Not me. I'm sorry. I have a flip-top phone. You know?
Well, you know, the digital age has changed the way that we do almost everything, and especially how we communicate. So after I spoke to as many young people as I could over the last 2 weeks, I heard a lot of them say that they hate that stereotype that all they want to do is sit home and be on their phones. They want to hear things that motivate them, that capture their attention. Scientifically right now, attention spans have gone down. They went from 7 seconds to now 3.5 seconds, which is so sad. I think, if I understood this correctly, I think that's the same attention span as a goldfish. So that is horrible. But if you can capture a young person's attention in those 3 seconds, it can change their life. So I think that young people don't want to hear anything sad. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're moved by the fact that, sadly enough, their friends are dying by suicide and they want to do something. But sometimes they just don't know how or what.
You know, I don't think it's only young people who don't like to hear things sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate listening to the news.
Yeah.
You know, this guy killed this little kid, or that, you know, this or that, you know, and I just get all upset, you know. Yeah. And it was a time when I would have just, years ago, I'd have just shut it off. Now I wind up being teary-eyed over it, you know. It's just that it's so sad. It's just, you know, that the population does such off-the-wall stuff, for lack of better words. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. You know, I was, not to change too much of the subject, but I was reading a newspaper this morning with coffee, and one of the big articles was how this teacher molested this six-year-old girl for the last 6 years, and they finally caught him. And I'm saying, all right, give him a trial and shoot him. You know what I mean? You know, because he's not going to change. It's, you know, and it just drives me insane.
Yeah.
So with that said, no, we have to take a quick break. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're very privileged today to have Maggie Rose with us. She's a co-founder of Reborn, and she was explaining just a few minutes ago what all Reborn is and who it helps and so on and so forth. And, you know, we were talking about this statement that this young person made to you, that young people are not interested in hearing something sad. Well, what do they want to listen to and follow up on?
Yeah, I think especially with the digital age, a lot of young people are willing and interested in listening to podcasts and radio shows and things that they can listen to on their drive to school or on their way home from school or to work. And I think that that is an opportunity for people in that industry to really create influence on young people that will inspire them. Because I think young people want to feel empowered. You know, they want to feel like they're making their own decisions and like their decisions are right for them. So how do they do that if they have such little life experience? They have to learn from other people. So when it comes down to it, young people really want to hear things that they can take and then take the initiative on and feel empowered from it and really inspire themselves and others. And that puts a lot of pressure on people in the media and people who are working on things like television shows that create a lot of influence and social media applications that create a lot of influence. And it's something that those people should be really focused and concerned about. And we see a lack of that in a lot of these situations. You know, there's so many TV shows, there's so many radio shows, there's so many outlets online, so many new applications that are coming out on the phone that young people are, for lack of a better word, addicted to in many cases. And those are the very platforms that should be focused on creating some sort of influence in a positive direction on young people.
All right. What happens after the sadness? How do they cope with getting back to their life as they once knew it or whatever, you know?
So when it comes down to going through that journey, right, we talked about earlier that journey for us at Reborn, we believe that that is a process of being reborn, is your journey and your story, and everybody has one, no matter who you are. Mm-hmm. So during that time, we like to influence young people to take the initiative and either sit down with themselves and try and write down goals and try and write down really that vision or at least some sort of interest that they can strive towards in their life. After going through therapy, we find a lot of young people say, okay, well, I've been going through therapy. Now what? It's kind of like a diet. You know, when you start a diet and you're eating healthy and you're seeing a difference, and then you hit a little bit of a plateau and now you're not really losing as much. It's kind of similar to therapy. You start going to therapy, you're getting better, you're getting better. Now you hit a little bit of a plateau because you're at a point where you're like, okay, what's next? What can I do now? So for us with our program, that's where the life coaching came in. Mm-hmm. We said, okay, well, young people should go and meet with a life coach. It's something that schools should offer. It's something that local, communities should offer, is to just at least sit with a life coach for 3 sessions. Scientifically speaking, it takes at least 3 times meeting with a therapist to get some sort of direction towards your solution.
Right.
So we believe in the same idea when it comes to life coaching. So for young people who are going through that therapy and who are taking that initiative, you're on the correct route. You're going in the right direction. Now it's time to say, what am I interested in? Am I interested in drawing? Am I interested in broadcast? Am I interested in marketing? Am I interested in creating a nonprofit or starting a business? What am I interested in, and how can I go after that? And so we really encourage young people to take that as the next step when they feel like, okay, well, what now?
Maggie, I would like to double back for a second.
Sure.
How long has your organization been around?
So we actually got our 501c3 status about 1.5 years ago. Okay. So we have had that status as a nonprofit for 1.5 years, but we were a social impact initiative before that for about 1 year. So it's been about 2.5 years now.
Okay, and where is your brick and mortar? Do you have a place where people can go to?
We do, yes. So we have wonderful offices. I love them so much because they were actually gifted to us by the Methodist Church over in Highbridge. So we are in Highbridge, New Jersey, not too far from here. And we have a couple offices, which is where our interns work out of. That was probably one of the coolest things ever, was to be able to offer internships to students who are passionate about mental health but also had skills that they wanted to improve or enhance or learn. So we do have offices over in Highbridge, right off of Main Street.
Are these college or high school students?
College.
Okay. Right. Okay. And how many people are in your organization?
So
part of your structure, let's say.
We're actually bringing on about 6 new people. They start in 2 weeks, which is really exciting. Some of those are volunteers, and some of those are interns. Mm-hmm. But right now, we have about 10 to 15 people steady with us.
Some are volunteers. Some
yes.
Mm-hmm. You're a co-founder. Who is the executive director, or is there one?
Yes. So I actually am the executive director.
Okay.
Yeah, my co-founder, she's wonderful. She actually is on her path to become a psychiatric nurse.
Okay.
So she's been with Princeton Medical. Mm-hmm. So her time has been a little limited.
Right.
We miss her.
Right. Yeah.
And what about your training in college and so forth? Do you have a background in social work? Or tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so not social work specifically, but I did switch my major over to psychology. And so I studied psychology with a focus on the adolescent's brain. And my biggest goal was to really study that under 35 generation and mm-hmm. learn more about that 18 to 24 mm-hmm. That we ended up actually making our focus on. I noticed, especially when I was in college, how prevalent mental health and mental illness was. So after losing my friends, switching my major, it was something that was more common than I even thought, which was really sad to find out. And, of course, then I became certified in a few different things, like suicide prevention training, intervention training, crisis intervention. Mm. And I'm actually finally almost done with my life coaching certification myself. It's been a little bit of a long process for me, but I'm excited to start that journey and add that to my certifications as well.
Great. How do you determine if a youth or young adult wants to help you offer?
Say that one more time. Wants to help.
How do you determine if a youth or a young adult wants the help that your organization offers?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because since we've begun, we thought when we first started that we were going to have to really go out to youth and really push, you know, the idea of it's okay to get help. And we can help you get to that next step, whether it was from referring them to people, referring them to organizations, mm-hmm. referring them to therapists at first, and now we have this program that we're really excited to launch. So we really thought that we were going to have to push for that. Surprisingly enough, it has been as simple as having a conversation about mental health that almost triggers a young person to say, well, maybe I might be interested. I had a situation actually last night. So I also am a server on the side, and I was serving last night, and I had two guests who were very young. I actually work with my roommate, and he was working with me last night, and I said, Chris, those people at my table, they are so cool. And he started to laugh because I love artsy, very creative people. And he was like, oh, Maggie, stop. He's like, do not have a full-on conversation with them like you do with every person who you think is creative. So we start laughing. And of course, it took about 15 minutes, and then I was over there for like an hour having a full-on conversation with these two young people about what they did, about their life. One of them was studying pre-med. One of them was becoming a nurse practitioner. And it was something that you would never guess. They had really cool style, and it was this type of, I want to call it a vibe, where you're like, okay, they're definitely throwing paint at a canvas. You know, they're creators, and they are in different ways. But when they said pre-med and nurse practitioner, I thought, wow, that's different. I did not expect that, but that's awesome. So we started talking, and they said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a server. I said, but I kind of feel like I live a double life because I come, you know, and I'm a server and I'm very casual with my table, my guests. But during the week and 24/7 really on my mind is the organization. And so they wanted to know all about it. So I was telling them all about Reborn, what we were doing.
Right.
And one of them said, well, you know what's interesting is, she said, I've been on this road with pre-med for a while now. She said, and I'm starting to feel like maybe that's not what I want to do. She said, I love working with people and talking to people, but I don't really like necessarily just looking at, you know, what could work for you medication-wise, or, you know, what is it that we could put you on? She said, I like having longer conversations. I want to know more about their life. I want to know how I can help them. And I've been thinking about becoming a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And she said, but I'm not really sure how to go about that transition because I've been studying this for so long. And I said, well, you know, it's interesting. We're going to be launching these certifications, and it would be a great opportunity for you to see if that's actually what you want to do, to become a peer-to-peer counselor and work in a program for a little bit of time. And she was all over it. She said, oh my goodness, I would love that opportunity. This would be amazing. And her boyfriend ended up pulling me aside, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I actually struggle with mental health myself. And he said, I would be honored to be able to get involved in some way, shape, or form. He said, I'd love to become a peer-to-peer counselor and learn more about that certification and how I can help other people who are struggling. He said, because I had to take that road of, okay, I need help. And he said, I've been going to therapy, and it has absolutely changed my life. So I want other young people to see that. So I've come to realize that when it comes down to young people, being able to show them, hey, I'm your friend. I'm just here to talk to you. Let's just see what we do. And the moment you say mental health, there's like this little antenna that goes up. And it's sad in a way because it's because mental health and mental illness.
There's stigma attached to it.
There's the stigma. And it's also very common for young people to have an attachment to mental health somehow. So I find that with young people, they've actually been coming to us. We've had over 145 pre-signups for our program from young people who have written us, have seen us at tables, have found out how they could sign up, have followed our newsletter and emailed us directly mm-hmm. from that, have contacted us on social media. So we've actually had more young people reaching out to us than we have reaching out to young people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how does a youth just to being all right with being alone and learning to love themselves? How does that happen?
This is so, so important for young people to learn. With the way that the digital age has changed our society, young people are so used to being in touch with people all the time. We have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, texting, emailing, phone calls, and the phone calls are less than the texting, but you have so much at your fingertips all the time, and you have more young people that when they're alone, they become almost bored with themselves, and so they reach out to people. They want to be around people all the time. I see this constantly. Even in my own life, I have a little sister. She likes to be alone every now and then, but most of the time, she's out with her friends. My roommates, they're also young. Constantly they're out with people. When I was younger as well, I found myself in that spiral of, okay, I just want to be with somebody all the time. You know, if I want to go get coffee, let me see if somebody wants to get coffee with me. If I want to go out, let me see who wants to go out with me. I want to go to the grocery store. Let me see who wants to go with me. And it's silly, really, if you think about it, because we constantly feel like we need somebody with us. But one of the biggest lessons that I personally have learned, and it's something that we try and influence to as many young people as possible, is it is so important to be alone with yourself. Because you are your biggest representative. You are your biggest influencer. You're your biggest supporter. Because you have to be able to know who you are first to say, okay, well, I want to accomplish these goals, and I know who I am enough to know that this is how I can do it. And strive for that every day. So young people who go through that experience of losing a friend or losing somebody close to them, maybe in a relationship, they find themselves in this pit where they're either severely depressed because they don't remember what it felt like to just be alone, or they feel like they have to be dependent on other people. But having that independence is so important in securing your own mental health. When it comes to being alone, there's that saying where it's different. Being lonely is different than being alone.
Right.
And that is so accurate. So we definitely believe in encouraging mm-hmm. people to take time with yourself and take a quote unquote mental health day to get to know who you are. You know, what kind of shows do you like? What's your favorite colors? You know, do you like going outside on a run? How do you know if you don't try it? You know?
Do you think maybe that's generational? I mean, this is sort of new to me in a way. I mean, I sometimes just always want to be alone. I'm surprised here.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely
no
think
comment.
That's generational.
No,
I'm not saying a word. I'm biting my tongue, but I'm not saying a word.
I'm independent. What can I say?
I definitely think so. A lot of my friends and I joke and kind of reminisce a little bit at the same time about the fact that we were the last of the generation to be forced to go outside and play. Growing up, my mother would lock the door and she would be like, you need to go outside at least for an hour and you need to play. And my best friend lived across the street. So we would get together and be outside for hours building forts or running around. Right. And, you know, we were outside all the time and recess was a thing. We loved recess. We were competitive athletes in the making, which you would never know, right? But We loved it. We loved being outside. And it encouraged us to talk to people and say, hey, you want to play? You want to be part of a team? And so teamwork was huge when we were growing up. And as we were growing up, I remember after I graduated high school is when Delaware Valley Regional High School, the high school I would have gone to, ended up getting iPads. And it was like the coolest thing. Young people were like, oh my goodness, this is so cool. We have this cool thing, their iPads. And I was like, what? I didn't have iPads when I was in high school. You know, everything was pen and paper. But I also went to a Catholic school. So it was a lot more strict than the public school system.
I was thrown out of Catholic school in seventh grade. True.
So I think that really does have an effect. I also didn't have a cell phone until I was 18 years old. So, and my little sister, 17.
I won't tell you when I had a cell phone, how old I was.
So I do think it's generational. I think that those young people who have grown up only having cell phones and being able to connect with people online has created this boundary between what teamwork is and working with other people and having that human connection and not. So I definitely think that has a lot to do with it.
Do you like being alone?
Oh, I'm a very independent person myself. I like having my alone time and being able to collect my thoughts. I was reading something just a couple days ago from Dwayne Johnson, mm-hmm. you know, The Rock.
Right.
And he was talking about why he wakes up at 4 a.m. And I've always tried to do that. And I got to a point one time where I was waking up at 4 a.m. and I was working out, and it was great. It set my life in this really great pace. And then my classes that I ended up taking in college kind of threw that off. Yeah. But because I was up late studying, mm-hmm. and then I didn't want to get up at 4. But anyways, Dwayne said, okay, the reason why he wakes up at 4 a.m. is because when you wake up at 4 a.m, it's this magical time because it's quiet and you can be with yourself to collect your thoughts before the day even starts. So by the time that 6 a.m., 7 a.m. comes around and the world is starting to get up, you've already collected your thoughts without any distractions. And I think that's so important for young people, is to learn how to quiet their mind. And it's something that a lot of young people don't know how to do anymore.
So in a way, they're almost panicking if they're going to be alone. Like, they just don't know what to do. They're not used to, they're having all this feedback all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really interesting.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Maggie Rose is with us, and she's the co-founder of Reborn. And I would like you to, Maggie, talk just a little bit about how does the difference between mental illness and physical illness influence one another? Because they really do.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So a lot of people, they kind of get confused sometimes with the difference between mental illness and physical illness because there's so much that can affect your physical self as well as your mental self. I once asked our team, I said, when you hear the word illness, what do you think of? And they said sick. I said, okay, when you hear the word health, what do you think of? And they're like, okay, well, healthy, good, happy. So we started changing mental illness to mental health because we believe in the power of the mind and the power of positivity and the power of saying, okay, well, even if there is a mental illness here, this is a part of your mental health, and this is something that may be able to be helped along the way through your journey. You know, for us with the four-step program, we're really encouraging the therapy and the life coaching and the support group and all of that. But sometimes it takes more. Sometimes it takes a lot less. There's a lot of young people who have symptoms of depression and anxiety, and it's affecting them physically. On a very low, small example, shaking hands, constantly being shaky, constantly feeling like you have to move. A lot of young people get scared because they go to Dr. Google, right? Mm-hmm. And they think they have cancer. They think that they have something else. Right. And then they go to the doctor and they find out they don't have cancer. They have anxiety or they have symptoms of depression. Your mental health can affect your physical health.
Sure.
And most of the time it does. Your mind is so strong and powerful that it can affect the rest of your body. That's why when young people or people in general who have depression, it's hard for them to get up out of bed if it's severe.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's hard for them to move. They feel slowed down. They feel like unmotivated. They feel this weight on their body. Those are symptoms that part of your mental health has affected your physical health.
Right.
So they do intertwine.
And I tell people when I give speeches or presentations and stuff, or even talk to them on the phone or if they call me, before you consider that you have a mental illness, go to the doctor and get examined so that, because a lot of the mental illnesses have the same symptoms as physical illness, mm-hmm. and they can't tell the difference, you know. So go to the doctor and get cleared for physical illnesses, and if you're cleared for physical illnesses, then call me back, okay?
Yeah.
You know, because, like I said, it's so... And everybody gets depressed. I don't care who you are. Everybody has anxiety. Everybody gets angry. The difference between mental illness and that is the length of time that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the difference, basically. Proven fact.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so unusual how people will... It'll be interacting, and they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know which way to go first, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the sad part, you know. That's why I tell them to go get the physical part done. Go to the doctor, get a physical, get all the, you know, x-rays and everything done so that you know that there's nothing physically wrong.
Yeah.
Then we can work on the mental part, you know. Today's youth.
Maybe we should focus in a little bit on a success story or what you might say to somebody who's really struggling.
So you mean in terms of
someone who's considering feeling very helpless and maybe considering suicide. Do you only get involved with them when they're past the crisis, or do you get involved just before, or what?
So for us personally at Reborn, mm-hmm. we have had people contact us directly in crisis, mm-hmm. and because of where we are with our program, and even with the fact that we could refer them to a therapist or refer them to a program, it is hard for us at this point to be able to directly help them without referring them to a crisis hotline or the suicide hotline, mm-hmm. or to a medical professional or even to a hospital. So in that situation where it is right then and there the crisis, it is hard for us at this point to intervene directly. We have more young people who get in touch with us when they are beginning to feel depressed, anxious, more than ever before, or when they do have suicidal tendencies or suicidal thoughts, and it is at a stage where it could happen. However, they are reaching out. They want to get help.
Right.
And a lot of them don't directly come out and say, hey, I'm suicidal and I want to get help. You know, a lot of them right. come to us and say, what is it that you do for people who are struggling? What is this program? What do you think about people who suffer with depression and they're 16 years old? And they ask questions that are really reflecting back on them.
Right.
And then that yeah. opens them up to say, well, I am interested. And it's never really right off the bat, I need help, I want to get help. It's, I would be interested in that in uh-huh. that program. And so when young people do come to us and tell us their story, we have young people on our staff, you know, on our team, who are certified as peer-to-peer counselors to talk with young people, to talk them through a situation. If they want to hop on the phone right then and there, or they want to come into the office right then and there, they can, and we want to talk with them. A lot of the conversations we have happen in the moment, besides, you know, people writing into us through social media, email. We have a lot of conversations at events with young people where young people act like they're happy and having fun and they see our table or they find out why we're there. And then they say, well, can I talk to you about something? Can I just share maybe some thoughts that went through my head? And at that point, we like to say, well, we do have this program we're launching. It is not launched yet. We actually are looking to launch the case study for that this November. But we do have therapists and life coaches and peer-to-peer counselors and a support group. And we do have access to refer them to those people at lower costs than the usual. So that is something that we do offer right now.
Today's youth, communication and coping skills, they're all affected by social media. Could you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've mentioned a couple times
right.
how social media has really affected the way that young people communicate. And something that we hear from time to time again is, how do you feel about young people and their coping skills? It's a really good question. More and more young people today are not growing up with the proper coping skills to deal with circumstances, situations in their life that can affect them traumatically
right.
and dramatically. All the way down to a simple, maybe not so simple, breakup, all the way up to somebody in the family dies, or there's a car accident, or there's something really traumatic that happens to that person. I came into the office a couple weeks ago, and one of my interns was there early. And so she came into my office, and I said, yeah, just sit up, you know, pull up a chair, you know, sit up at the desk. I'm just going to turn on my computer and start everything up. And I said, let's make some coffee. Let's get everything set up. And I turned on my computer, and Facebook was up. And there was a little girl, she was 14 years old, on Facebook Live. So it was live streaming, sobbing, crying. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? And this girl who's working with us was like, what is going on? Is that a recorded video? What's happening? And so I'm typing this girl.
Right.
What's going on? Are you okay? Would you like mm-hmm. to talk? Here's my contact. You can give me a call. You know, let's talk this through. What's going through your mind? And this little girl had this experience with her parents had been divorced, and the one parent came back for the dog, and she loved the dog, and so the dog was gone, and the dog was the only thing that comforted her. So she immediately turned to social media to try and cope with this situation. The amount of comments and responses that she got was over 1,000. She had thousands of people reaching out to her to see if she was okay, see what was going on. Some people said some rude things. That's how it works online. But the thing is that this 13, 14-year-old girl went to social media to cope.
Right.
We find that with younger people, especially now at this time, with kids who are in high school and have social media, a lot of them are ranting online. They're going to the internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and they're posting about their sadness. The amount of pictures that we find online of young people who post about them cutting, it's horrifying. Actual pictures of them doing that action. And it is so heartbreaking and so sad to see that, because all that we want to do is help them and let them know that we're here for them.
Right.
And we are here for you to talk to. We are here if you need a hug. We are here for you to come in and make friends with. But young people, instead of coping by going to their parents or their siblings or their friends or going, you know, which we would love, to therapy or saying, hey, mom, dad, I need to see somebody. That's not really in their thinking patterns.
Right.
To say, mom, dad, I need to see somebody. That's like unheard of. So young people are going directly to social media, and it's interfering with their coping skills, because what if all of social media stopped today and nobody had that? How would those young people cope? And that's right.
What if they're in a no internet zone, or
no Wi-Fi,
right.
No connection? Oh, no.
Right.
It's the end of the world for
that's
them.
Really,
right.
And it's sad.
If someone wanted some more information, is there a phone number they could reach out, or is there a Facebook or whatever they could go to?
There is.
Okay.
So
would you give it?
I will. So actually, all of our social media is pretty much the same name except for our Twitter. So our Facebook and our Instagram is Reborn, R-E-B-O-R-N, .social, S-O-C-I-A-L. We kept that part of the social impact initiative because we still want to create that, you know, initiative,
right,
in young people. Our website is www.reborn.social. That's it. Very simple. And you can email us directly at info@reborn.social. And you can follow us on all of our profiles. The Twitter handle is a little bit different. It's reborn_social. But it's pretty much all the same if you look us up online. Our website definitely has a lot of information on the program and what we're doing and how you can get involved and how you can reach out to us. So I highly encourage you to go to the website. And if anybody ever has questions or concerns, wants to share a story, or wants to reach out to us personally, you can email us at info@reborn.social.
Okay. I can't thank you enough, Maggie. It's been a pleasure having you on again. Time flies, you know. But I will have you back. That I guarantee you.
Woohoo! I would love that. Yeah. And thank you so much.
You will come back. I guarantee it. We won't be
thank
here
you,
next
Maggie.
Week because next week's a holiday. It's whatever, Labor Day. That's what it is. I had to think what it was. I couldn't think. It's Labor Day. So we won't be here next week, but we'll be here in 2 weeks. So enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And Maggie, thank you so much again. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Maggie. Great work you're doing.
Thank you so
keep
much.
It up.
Thank
we
you.
Will have you back again. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you in 2 weeks.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump tells reporters he's open to negotiating with Iran's leaders, but only if they're serious about giving up their nuclear ambitions.
They can't do what they were saying they're going to do, because if they do that, they're going to be met with really very violent force. We have no choice.
President Trump speaking at a joint news conference at the G7 meetings in France. The president continues,
we can have it done in a very short period of time. And I really believe that Iran can be a great nation. I'd like to see that happen, but they can't have nuclear weapons.
Former Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein on Monday pled not guilty to two new charges of predatory sexual assault in a New York state court. Weinstein's trial, which had been scheduled for September 9th, has been delayed until early next year as a result of the fresh indictment. Weinstein, who's out on $1 million bail, is denying all sexual assault charges. This is USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor, and in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members, and Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs, and that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in, and like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money,
get back in the shape, get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text FORCE to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text FORCE to 321321. That's F-O-R-C-E to 321321.
Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Newman learns the full details of the Manhattan Project, in which scientists...
Defamation League has released a report saying anti-Semitic vandalism and intimidation cases in America...
If I was somebody who normally would go to Panera...
You're listening to Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Portion does. Respect to patients after mastectomies and things of that nature.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure why you need physical therapy after a mastectomy.
Well, in those situations with respect to mastectomy, for instance,
sure.
Oftentimes...
taxing the media as they continue their
investigation. Going to school.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Authorities in Poland have brought charges against a man who designed an Escape the Room entertainment site where five teenage girls died during a fire. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
Autopsies showed the five girls, all around the age of 15, died from carbon monoxide inhalation.